Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 7, the first and the third verse. On the good and faithful God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not, bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will. 1 and 3 of Psalter 7. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the second book of the Kings, thereof the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 18. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention 2 Kings 4, beginning with verse 18 through 37. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. The mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and laid upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing in his presence on this last day of this year. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, Only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the creator of all things, the upholder of all things, thou who gives life, who preserves life, and also at thy time will take our life, and that we must stand before thee. And Lord, in thy goodness and in thy mercy and in thy long-suffering patience, at the end of this year, tonight we may enter into thy house one more time to hear what thou hast to say unto us, to open thy precious word, and to listen to the voice of the Lord. And Lord, thou hast given then in this congregation, in thy mercy, that none was taken away in the past year. None exchanged time for eternity. It's thy mercy. Because if thou would deal with us according to our sins and iniquities, we would have been cast away. Lord, may we then be humbled. May we then be brokenhearted by thy goodness. Some came close to death, but thou hast cared for them. And others are yet mourning for relatives that have passed away. Comfort them, Lord, and teach us that our life is in thy hand, and that thou art a holy God, a just God. And thou hast said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, and the wages of sin is death. But it's of thy mercy that thou art yet willing to speak to us at the end of this year through thy word, through thy precious word that can make us wise unto that only way of salvation. Lord, we ask and beg thee then that thou would gather with us with the presence of thy Holy Spirit to bless thy word irresistibly, powerfully to our souls, that dead ones yet at this late hour may be made alive, but also thy dear people may receive instruction, that they may be edified, but also comforted by thy word. And Lord, tonight when we consider that question, is it well with thee? May each one of us search our own heart, our own soul in thy presence. And may we truly know whether it is well upon good grounds because of thy grace, because of thy mercy. But if it is not, Lord, wilt thou also show us that it's only woe, and that that message may come home, and that we may be awakened, that we may make haste for our life's sake. Lord, we pray, remember thy church gathered then throughout the world tonight on New Year's Eve. Bless thy word richly, Lord, mightily, powerfully. May thy kingdom come. May thy name be glorified. May sinners be born again and come to repentance, and that the angels may rejoice in heaven. And Lord, care for thy church as we come to the end of this year and enter a new year, the Lord willing, tomorrow. Oh, may we be given to see that thou art that King of kings and Lord of lords upon the throne, and thou art that supreme ruler who controls all things, and that we may have that comfort looking up unto thee. And may we know thee then as that good shepherd, as that faithful shepherd, as that compassionate shepherd, as that interceding and thanking high priest. Oh, may thou then also teach us as that great prophet, each one of us, of who we are by thy law, of our sin, but also teach us of that only way of salvation, as thou hast said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we ask then that thou would look upon us in mercy. There's no reason in us. May we also be given to reflect upon this past year, and then we can only come to one place in the dust and our knees before thee, confessing our sin. But Lord, there is forgiveness with thee because of him, because of thy precious Son whom thou hast sent. May we not only truly come before thee in the dust, confessing our sin, but may we also be given that true saving faith in our heart, to look outside of self, to look up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help for all things for this life, but especially also for our soul. Lord, we pray then that thou would give us a good hour in thy house. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances, preaching and listening. Cast out that evil one, Satan, who likes to pluck at that seed that is sown, who likes to distract, and fill our hearts and minds with all other thoughts, all other cares. O Lord, wilt thou then cast them out, and that thy word may be proclaimed freely, and that there may be blessings upon it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thou hast said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Oh, we plead then for thy Spirit tonight again. Each time is a new time. Each time we gather, we need thee. We need thy presence. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Without thee, we can do nothing. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember those who cannot gather with us tonight, who are at home for different reasons and are listening along. Give them a blessing in their home. But also, Lord, we pray for those who had no desire to gather in thy house, to end this year in thy house, to hear thy word and to worship thee. Oh, bring them to themselves. Awaken them, Lord, before it is forever too late. But remember also those, Lord, who are being persecuted for thy name's sake, who have no freedom to gather together as a congregation to worship thee, care for them. Lord, we ask then, as thy word may go forth, wilt thou care for thy little lambs, for the sheep? And wilt thou then also speak to them of that only way of salvation and give them that faith and exercise, that they may truly examine themselves, but also that they may know by thy grace, by thy Spirit, testifying with their spirit, that they may say, it is well. Nothing in self, but because of thy grace, because of thy mercy, because of that righteousness is which outside of us, because of that blood that atoned and paid and satisfied thy justice. Lord, we ask and beg thee and beseech thee, pass us not by, but give a blessing upon thy word. Give us a good hour, and that we may go home to say it was good to be here because the Lord was in our midst. Lord, open deaf ears, enlighten darkened minds, and renew hearts. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Thou art the Almighty God. And may we ask thee, Lord, then as a congregation, to cleanse and wash us of all our sins, not only as a congregation, but also individually. Lord, we sin everything away, but we beg thee and plead with thee because of thy precious Son, the Lamb of God, who came into this world to pay and to take away the sins of thy dear people. Lord, we ask thee then, help thy servant. He's a son of man. Give him the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Give many to pray, to beseech thee, and that there may be blessings from above. Lord, we ask all these things. We are unworthy, but may we ask it upon him who sits at thy right hand, in the name of thy precious Son, we beg and ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this evening's worship service now with singing from Psalter 136. Psalter 136, all four stanzas. Dust to dust the mortal dies, both the foolish and the wise. None forever can remain, each must leave his hoarded gain. Yet within their heart they say that their houses are for aid, that their dwelling places grand shall for generations stand. Psalter 136, all stanzas. In the meantime, your gifts will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. your congregation at the end of this year, there's many questions I could ask you. But there's one important question. It's not a question from me. It's a question from the Lord. It's a soul-searching question to ponder in the last hours of this year. The question is it well with you? Is it well with your soul, my friend? And so the word of God, which we will meditate tonight, is from the history of the Shunem woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. And I will only read verse 26 at this time. 2 Kings 4, verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. Dear friends, in the last hours of this year, 2024, you've heard the gospel many times here in this church. Every Lord's Day, the doors were opened twice. You could gather to hear the word of God. And it's also fitting at the end of the year to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves, is it well with my soul? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? It is good to pause, to search our hearts, not in the presence of each other, but especially in the presence of the Lord, and to ask yourself, is it well with my soul, or is it woe yet? It's evening. There's a soul-searching question for all of us from the Lord. And our theme in connection at the end of the year and this question in 2 Kings 4 is a soul-searching question on New Year's Eve. Is it well with you? And in connection with the history in 2 Kings 4, we will consider three thoughts. First, we will consider when this question was asked. When was this question asked? Well, if you go into the home of the Shunem woman, it's death. It's a sad, grieving situation. She's asked this question when there's death in her home. Is it well? What is the situation in your home? What is the situation in your heart at the end of 2024? Is it well, my friend? The second, we will think on why this question was asked. Why did the prophet of God, the servant of God, ask this woman this question? And why do I also want to ask you this question? And why does God ask you and me this question? Is it well? And lastly, we will consider how this question was answered. How did this woman answer this question? She answered, it is well. How is that possible? Death, a horrible circumstances, a great trial of her faith, and yet she could say, shalom, peace, it is well. Can you answer that at the end of this year? Can I? Can we say, it's well, shalom? And so, a soul-searching question on New Year's Eve. Is it well with you? When this question was asked, why this question was asked, and how this question was answered. In 2 Kings 4, we see two women in this history. A woman which was a widow that had two sons, and the Shunammite woman who was given a son. There's many contrasts between these two histories. And yet, both histories have something in common. Both were in an absolute impossible situation, humanly speaking. And both received a great miracle. But tonight we will concentrate especially on the history of the Shunem woman. She has a question asked. Is it well with thee? Who is this woman? Who is this woman? This woman who lived in Shunem is called a great woman, as we can read in verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. What does it mean that this woman was great? Well, there's a few things to say. We could say she had great wealth. She cared for the servant of God. She built a little room on her house. She had money to spend. She cared for the servant of God. And she even furnished that little room. But she was great also in hospitality. She had spiritual gifts. She was great. She cared for the servant of God. But she also was great in discernment. She knew that this man, the prophet, was a servant of God. How else is this woman great, congregation? This woman was also great in faith. No, she did not say this of herself, but we read the testimony of God that this woman was great. Those that have true saving faith do not confess, "I'm a great Christian, I have great faith." No, they don't see in their own eyes that they're great. And yet the Lord, as a testimony of this woman, called her great. She was a great woman. She was great in faith. And I'll explain that more in the last thought. But true faith is also always tried. True faith is always tried. May I ask you, do you have faith? Do you have true saving faith, congregation? And has your faith in this past year been tried? Maybe in many small ways, maybe in a great way. We read in 1 Peter 1 verse 7 that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And we read in Psalm 66 verse 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." The Shunammite woman is a great woman of great faith, and her faith is tried. It's tried very deeply, in a real grievous way. So let us consider a little bit of this history, especially for the children, that they may also listen along. The Shunammite woman cared for Elisha, and Elisha desired to reward her for her kindness, for her love to him. And so he calls her one day to come, as you can read in verse 13. And he spoke with her, and he asked her what could be done for her. And then again, we see this woman, she has great faith, because great faith produces also what? Humility. Humility. How did she answer that question? She answered, "I dwell among my own people." She doesn't desire any great thing. She is satisfied. Satisfied. And yet this woman has a pain in her life. And Elisha is not satisfied. He asks his servant, "What can we do for this woman? What can we do for this woman who in her goodness has cared for us?" And his servant tells Elisha that she doesn't have any children and that her husband is old. And so Elisha calls her again. And we read in verse 16 and 17, and he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So the prophet told her that she would have a son. So although this woman was a great woman, with wealth, with the gifts of the Spirit, and of faith, she had great sorrow in her home. She was grieved, as any woman can understand, not having a child. It's a cross. It's a sorrow. She had sorrow in her home. She could never hold a dear little child. But in God's goodness and mercy, a child was born in her home. What joy in her home that she never had before. The sorrow seemed to leave. And there was joy. And it must have been a joy to hold that little boy, that little baby in her arms, and to see him slowly grow, starting to crawl, starting to walk, starting to talk. It must have been joy. But now in this history, what happened to this little boy, children, young people? What happened? Well, this young boy, he grew up. We don't know exactly what age he was. Maybe he was 5, 6, 7, 8. We don't know exactly. But one day he went with his father to work. And his father went to reap in the fields. And he went with them, as sometimes children also do, especially on farms. And that day may have been a very hot day. And this boy became very sick, and he said, "My head, my head." Maybe he had a stroke, we do not know. But the father then called a servant, "Please bring my little boy home. Bring him home to his mother," as we read in verse 19. And then this boy is very sick. And you see this little boy on his mother's lap, and he died. This boy died, as we read in verse 20. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. What grief now came into this home. There was sorrow because there was no child. There was a joy because there was a child. And now there was a deep grief that she never knew in her life before. It seemed that all the joy had left that house. It's only filled with sorrow. We would say as a congregation, as we look into this home of this woman, all that's left is death. All that's left is sorrow. What a trial of her faith. And now you, my friend, how is it in your life? What trials, what afflictions, what crosses have entered into your home? Maybe you had joy, but now there's crosses. And these trials can be in physical ways, sickness, or death of family, financial, and a multitude of other things. And they're real. They can be pain. It can be sorrow. Or these things also can be spiritually. Spiritual in your heart and in your soul. Maybe sometime in this year you had joy. Joy in hearing the gospel. Joy that you never ever had before. And maybe you had a time of sweet communion with the Lord. And there was joy. But now it's all buried over. Your flesh is raging and all you see is sin. No joy. It's all covered with all your sin, with all your flesh, and Satan attacks. And temptations abound. And there's no joy. Grief, sorrow. Joy, and now there's sorrow. What trials, what afflictions. And Jesus Christ promised his church that in this world they will have tribulations. John 16, verse 33, "In the world you will have tribulations." And we read in Acts 14, verse 22, "We must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God." God's people, the sheep of Jesus Christ, go through many tribulations. Physically it can be, but also spiritually. And they can enter in deep, deep ways. that they cannot even explain. They cannot share. And maybe you and I never can see. You can only experience it yourself. And so as we look into this home of this woman, I think we would say, it's not well. It's not well in this home at all. Her son is dead. Her son died. And we can feel much compassion for her sad circumstances. What does she do? She takes that body of her son and she lays it on the bed of the servant of God. And then she went, or she sent a message to her husband. And she said simply, I need a donkey. I need a donkey. I need to travel. I need to go to see the man of God. She has a place where she wants to pour out her grief. And her husband, he doesn't understand it. Why? It's not a time of any feast. Why? Why do you want to go? She doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand it. But how does she answer, congregation? Look in your Bible. In 2 Kings 4, verse 23, she answers, it shall be well. And you see some words in italics. There's actually one word, shalom. But in that word, there's different connotations. And she's saying, as we read it, it shall be well. Death in her home. And she says, it shall be well. In these sad circumstances of her life, she had faith. She didn't only look at death. She looked up. She looked to God. What a lesson for us when even you, children of God, sinners, when you feel all death in yourself. Look up. Look outside of yourselves. Look to that almighty, powerful God. But can you say, it shall be well? That takes faith. That takes great faith to look to him. The Shunan woman then commands this man, the servant that comes with his donkey, and she asks him, please go as fast as you can. Do not slow down in any way for me. I need to be at the man of God. I need to go to pour out my heart, not just to a man, but to God. And she probably had to travel for 20 kilometers. We say, that's simple, you just get in your car. No, this was effort, congregation. And then Elisha sees her coming. He sees that woman coming. He sees her coming, and he sends a question. When did Elisha ask her this question? When this woman is coming to her? In her home is death? Then he asks, is it well with thee? Is it well with you? He doesn't understand it. The Lord hasn't revealed it unto her. But he asks her this question, is it well? And I ask you, no, the Lord is asking you, when? At the end of this year, is it well? Is it well with your soul, congregation? And so we come to the second thought. A soul-searching question on New Year's Eve. Is it well with you? Why this question was asked? Why? Why do I want to lay this question before your heart tonight? Why? Why did Elisha ask her this question? He had a bond with this woman. He cared for this woman. He loved this woman. And out of his deep concern, out of his heart, he's a man. He sees her. She cared for him. He loves her in a special way. And he sees her. He knows there must be something terrible. And he, out of love, asks, sends a question. Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Is it well with you? Congregation, I also feel a bond with you. I don't only care for how you are doing in your daily life, but I care especially for your soul. Soul lost, all is lost, congregation. Is it well with you? Is it well with your soul at the end of this year? And we can ask each other, how are you doing? How's your family? It's good we ask these questions, but it can be so shallow. We can just respond, yeah, it's good, I'm okay, and we carry on. But have you ever asked a friend? Have you ever asked someone in the congregation, is it well with you, my friend? Is it well with your soul? Is it well? This is an important question. It's a soul-searching question. It's about your soul. It's about eternal life. It's about whether we're ready to die, whether we're ready to meet God. This evening, at the end of this year, I ask you at this time a question from the Lord. Is it well? Is it well with your soul? Elisha asked this question because he wanted to know why she was coming to him. Is it really peace? Is it really peace? Is it shalom? What a beautiful word if you knew Hebrew. Shalom. Is there shalom in your heart? Is there shalom in your house? Is there peace? Or is there something that disturbed the peace? Is there something that disturbed the joy? Is there peace? Or is it peace missing? Is it harmony or is it disruption? Is it well? Is it shalom with your soul? Why this question? Because it's about your soul. This word shalom has different connotations. It means is everything in the right place, in the right order. It indicates that everything's good. Good originally as God created it in the image of man in paradise, it was shalom in perfection. Perfect shalom, perfect peace. There was no sin. There was communion with God, no separation. But sin ruined shalom. Sin disturbed, destroyed shalom. Destroyed peace with God, destroyed peace with each other, destroyed peace with the animals. And the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. The wicked have no peace, but they live as if they are in peace. Why is that? Why is someone who's at the very brink of hell, hanging by a brittle thread, as Jonathan Everett describes it, at any moment to snap, and they can just live in peace when they have no peace? Is that you yet, my friend, at the end of 2024? Because they're spiritually dead. Oh, they may know many things up here, but they have nothing in their hearts. They're living with woe, great woe, on the brink of eternity, on the brink of hell. Or there's some who live with false peace. False peace. Who are those living with false peace? Those who are on sandy foundations. Those who are expecting salvation because of who they are, because of their good works. Or because they have faith, but it's not true and saving faith in God and in the Savior, Jesus Christ. They have a faith, but their faith is no better than the devil's. Maybe a little emotion, maybe a little stirring, a little convictions. But they're on a false foundation. I hope that's not you, my friend. I hope not. And I hope you may be awakened tonight. May I ask you, is it well with you? Is it well with thee? Is it well with your soul? Is there shalom? Are you at peace with God? That's what it is. Are you at peace with God, with the God you have sinned against? Or are you still a dead sinner at war with God, at war with Jesus Christ, living in sin? Have not been made alive. Have not been made translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son. Have not been delivered from the dominion of sin, still living under the power of sin and Satan. No peace, only woe. Is it well with you, my friends? Do you ask, how can I know? I want to know at the end of this year. Is that your question? I want to know. I want to know if it's well in my soul. My friends, search your heart. in the presence of God as David did. Search your hearts. But especially I will mention three simple marks from the Heidelberg Catechism, which we will, Lord willing, explain in detail in the next months. Three marks worked by the Holy Spirit. And those that have these three marks, it is well with them because of God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit. What are these three marks? What are these three experiential truths? Young people, adults, misery, deliverance, and gratitude. My friend, is it well? Do you know something of your guilt against the Holy God? Do you know something that you have sinned against the Holy God who can by no means clear the guilty? Do you know something of how great your sins and miseries are? Do you mourn because of sin, as we read in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount? Do you mourn because of who you remain to be? Not only that you do sin, but that you are sin. God's children, by the work of the Holy Spirit, know something of misery. They become mourners. They grieve because they sin against God. They know what Paul said in Romans 7, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Is it well? Do you know something of misery? What's the second mark? Deliverance. Is it well? Do you know something of that only way of deliverance which you cannot find in yourself at all anymore? It becomes hopeless. It becomes all death inside. From your side. But do you know something of a hope in another, in a mediator, in God's Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the gospel promise become precious to your soul? Is it your only hope? That God freely forgives the chiefest of sinners, nothing to do with them, but everything to do with his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you seen him through the Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit? Has he become your only hope? Has he become precious? Has it become Christmas? Have you received hope, faith in Jesus Christ? My friend, is it well with your soul? The Shunammite woman went to the servant of God. Nothing could have kept her from him. Nothing. She had to go. She needed not only that man, she needed God. She needed to pour out her heart with all her needs, all her cares. She had to pour it out at his feet. She looked up to him with death in her house. My friend, do you know something? With all death in self, needy, longing, nothing could keep you back. You had to go on your knees before Lord and to pour out all your hearts. You had to come in church in 2024. Do you know something of taking refuge? Especially to that only Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you came very trembling, with a beggar's hand trembling. Will he receive me? Will he receive such a sinner? But you had to go. And like Esther, if I perish, then I'll perish at his feet. The true work of the Holy Spirit teaches a sinner of his misery, of deliverance, but also out of that flows gratitude. There's born in that heart, because of the love of God, because of the great mercies received, also a desire to serve him, to live holy for him. My friend, is it well with your soul? Do you know of godly sorrow? Do you know of only hope in Jesus Christ? And do you long for holiness? Do you desire to live for God? Do you long to keep his commandments, all his commands, because that's a way that you can express love to God? Paul knew all three of these marks. Not only misery, not only deliverance, but also gratitude. Paul knew all three. Every child of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, comes to know all three. And these, And these recipients of God's grace may say, it is well. It is well. My friend, if you have these three marks, I may say, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you may say it is well. But it's so different to be able to say it with your heart, with a full assurance. My friend, it's not what others think of you and me. Others cannot see in your heart. Others cannot see in my heart. It's what God sees. And maybe you cannot explain your life to others. Maybe you're afraid to. Maybe others judge you. Maybe others condemn you and say, that's not it. But God looks at the hearts. Is that a comfort to you? That God looks at your hearts. And we can look so good on the outside. We can look so perfect, doing everything right. But is there life? Is it well? Is it shalom? The Pharisees looked very good, perfect, immaculate, doing everything right, following all the rules. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say about them? They were whited sepulchres full of dead bones. They looked so good on the outside, but it was all death, only woe. Whoa! It was not well with them. But my friend, is it well with you? How will you answer? Sheep, little lambs. Maybe say, oh, I would love to be able to answer. I would love to be able to answer tonight with my whole heart in the presence of God and just say with peace in my heart, because that would be such a blessed way to end this year. Is it well? And that you could say, shalom. Shalom, because of God's grace in my life. My friend, can you sit beside Peter tonight? Can you sit beside him and say, you don't have to tell anybody else, but can you sit beside him and say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Is this true? Then it shall be well with thee. And I may say, it is well with thee. Let us sing Psalter 68, stanzas 1 through 4. Psalter 68, all four stanzas. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. Psalter 68, all four stanzas. Thank you. a soul-searching question on New Year's Eve. Is it well with you? We've considered when this question was asked, why this question was asked, and now how is this question answered? How? How did she answer? Did she respond, "It's not well at all"? How can it be well? My son is dead in my home. It's not well. It's all death. Is it death in your heart, my friend? Is that all you see is death? We read how she answered in 2 Kings 4, verse 26. And she answered, "Shalom. It is well." Shalom. One word. What an answer, congregation. What an answer when there's only death. When her joy has turned to sorrow, she can still answer, "Shalom, it's well." Is she just quickly answering the servant? Is she just quickly answering because she wants to speak to the prophet? She just hurries up and gives an answer. She doesn't have time for long conversation for this man. She wants to get to the servant. No, it's true that she wanted to speak to the prophet, to the servant of God. But this answer comes right out of the depth of her heart. It comes out of the depth of her heart through her mouth. Shalom. How can that be? Does she not mourn for her son? Is she not hard and cold? No, because we read in this verse, her soul was vexed. Her soul was in deep, unexplainable grief. A very deep word. Her soul was vexed. Yet, she could answer this question and say, "It's well. Peace. Shalom." She was asked, "Is it well with thee?" And she answers, "Peace." Deep grief and peace. How can these two things be in the same heart? Deep pain, grief, sorrow, and yet peace. This is a heart of a child of God, not only in outward ways, but in spirit, in grace, in their soul. There could be great pain, grief, and death. All they see is death, but yet there can be peace. Unspeakable peace. Maybe you have the same feelings as this woman. Maybe you have the same feelings in your heart and in your soul and your life as this woman. Grief. Great grief. And yet hope. Hope. And maybe you ask, how can these two things go together? Maybe you're wondering, if I really had true faith, if I could really trust in the Almighty God and in the Savior, why do I feel grief and pain and circumstance? Wouldn't I just be free from it all? Beloved, this woman was deeply grieved. Her dear, beloved son had died, and we cannot understand this unless we experience it. She had deep grief and pain, but faith does not make you insensitive. We don't become stoic. No, we're living human beings with feelings and experiences. It's not that we become by true faith. Well, that's part of life. That's what the Lord brought me in my life. And we're just cold to these things. No, not at all. Not at all. And it's not a sin to deeply grieve. It's good. It's real. Pour out your heart to God. Faith is consistent with grief and sorrow. There can be deep grief, and there also can be peace. This woman knew deep pain, and yet, how could she answer, "It is well"? She had faith. She had faith in the Almighty God of heaven and earth. She has God's grace in her heart. And by faith, and by the grace received, she could say, it's well. She had great faith in God. And that Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, deep pain, but great faith. How can we see her great faith in this chapter? And as I explain this, lay your heart next to it. Not only in physical things, in things that happen in this life, but also lay your soul beside it, congregation. First, she did not call her husband and ask him, we need to bury their son. And if you lived in Bolivia, you understand that on the same day, you usually bury those that pass away. It's hot. The body begins to decay. She doesn't quickly arrange a funeral. She doesn't quickly bury her son. No, she did not do that. She took her son and laid him on the bed of the servant of God. Why did she do this? Why did she not arrange a burial? Because in the depth of her heart was faith and hope in God. Although deep pain, it had not become hopeless. She still had grace. She had grace that clung to God in all the pain, in all the sorrow, in all the grief. And she could say, it's well. In death, she had faith. She had faith. Secondly, she did not tell her husband. She did not only not arrange a funeral, she didn't tell him why. Because then it would become public. What was wrong with that? She had such deep awe and reverence for the Lord. She didn't want anyone to have the opportunity to mock the name of the Lord and to say, is that the God you serve? He gives you such a precious gift. He gives you a little boy. He grows for a few years, and now he takes him away. She didn't want to bring any slander to the precious name of God. She loved the Lord with her whole heart and being. She had a faith, a deep faith. We read of a faith which worketh by love in Galatians 5 or 6. My friend, do you know that faith that worketh by love, with love for the awe and the glory and the name of God? Thirdly, when her husband asked her where she was going, how did she answer? How did she answer? It shall be well. She doesn't say, there's death and I need to go. She says, it shall be well. There was hope in her heart that her son would come alive again. That there would be, out of all the death, that there would come life. And so she could say, peace, shalom. She made a long journey. It probably took her at least 6 hours to come to the man of God to be able to pour out her heart. True faith brings a need. And no matter how difficult it can be, and no matter what the circumstances, you need to go in your closet and bow your knees and pour your heart to God. You need to be in God's house. You need to open your Bible. You need to read. Nothing can stop that. You need it. You need to speak to God. That's true faith, congregation. Is it well? Do you know of this true faith? We see God's grace in this life of this woman. That's the only way she could answer in death. It's well, it's shalom. No matter how great her grief is, no matter how vexed her soul is, there is a faith that took refuge to God and that clung to him. Clung to him. She couldn't let him go. She couldn't. No matter what. Even though he would slay her, yet she would trust him, as Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Is that how it is in your heart, in my heart, at the end of this year? Trusting in him in everything. and all the crosses, and all the afflictions, and all the grief, and all the inflictions, laying it all at his feet, looking up unto him, trusting in him, loving his name, wanting to glorify him, to serve him. Is it well? Is it well, my friend? Is it peace? Is it peace? This woman, in these deep circumstances, by God's grace and by faith in God, and the Almighty God of heaven and earth, my friend, if you miss that true saving faith, you're not only without peace, you cannot answer peace. You cannot answer shalom. For you, it's only without peace at the end of this year. What a horrible situation to end a year. No peace. But there is such an abundance of peace available in the Almighty God through the merits of Jesus Christ. And when we learn a little something of who we are, because by nature we only rebel against all the different providence of God in our life, sickness or death or financial cares or cares with your children and a multitude of things, we only rebel against it. But when God teaches a little something of who we are, grace upon grace, that makes the difference. That makes the difference because our eyes are opened to see what we deserve. And when we come to the end of the year, we cannot have any complaints to God. We can only stand in awe that we're still in the land of the living, still in the time of grace, that God is so patient, so long-suffering for such wretches. And then we confess with Jeremiah 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Or as he confessed in Lamentations 3, verse 39, wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. My friend, is it well? Or is it still woe? Is it well by God's grace? Or by your guilt? Is it still woe? And maybe there's some here, those little lambs, they don't dare give themselves a name. They don't dare say, I belong to the people. But may I ask you, little lamb, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? Is there love for God? Has he poured love in your heart? And there's love that goes out to him? Is there a longing to be reconciled with him? Is there a longing that you would be able to know him as your Father? That you would know him, that precious Savior, as your Savior? My friend, wait upon God. Faithfully use the means of grace. And at his time, and in his mercy, and in his sovereign grace and love, he will come and speak. As we heard on Sunday, as he spoke to Simeon. And then we come to the end of this history. This woman receives her son back. Elisha, no God. God gave life out of all the sorrow, and that's the life of grace. This life is sorrow because of who we are, because of our sin. But of all this sorrow, there'll come life. Sorrow but peace. It shall be well with you, Church of God. It is well already. And maybe you don't feel it, but because of God's grace, if you are recipient, it is well. And it shall be well. Nothing will keep you from the eternal realms of glory where you'll forever be able to be around his throne singing and praising with unspeakable peace. Congregation, a few application points at the end of this year. Is it well with you? We've come to an end of the year. It's a solemn question. It's a deep question. It's a big question. And the Lord knows how it is in your hearts. A year is coming to an end. And one day you will stand. One day will be your last day. One year will be your last year. And then you will exchange time for eternity and need to stand before the Almighty God that you have sinned against. Is it well? How can it be well? By God's grace, through the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Today marks the end of a year. Is it well? Is it well with your soul? Is it well in all the afflictions, in all the troubles, in all the crosses? Is it well? Are you living with a false peace? Or do you have that true peace that can only be found in a triune God? My friend, must you confess it's not well? It's not. Be honest. Be honest with your soul. Because soul lost, all lost. Be honest. And friends, if we don't feel well, what do? Oh, we quickly look for a doctor. But I need to tell you now, if it's not well with your soul, I hope you feel it. And I say that there's great reverence that you seek that great physician, that one that has balm to give, to heal you, to cleanse you, to wash you, that you would seek him and you would have no rest until you may rest under his wings and he speaks peace to your soul. Dear children of God, you who know something of the three marks of God's grace in your hearts, you may say it's well, but seek it. Seek the assurance of it. Seek the comfort of it. The experience in your heart, in your soul, in God, through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't seek it in self. Don't seek it in any man. But seek it in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He came to merit peace. And he longs to give his people peace. And that they may live in shalom. That they may live in peace. He came to be one with man. As Elisha, as we saw, he became one with that child. But Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, he came, became one to what? To take all your iniquities away, Church of God. To take all your sins away. And he took them upon himself. He even took what you deserve. The wages of sin is death. He also took that upon himself so that a people, that poor, wretched sinners who only deserve eternal wrath, may enter and live in eternal peace. Shalom. Shalom. That heavenly peace with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Dear congregation, I may say with my whole heart, I desire for each and every one of you, every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, that you may know this peace by God's grace. That's my desire for you, for your soul. I'd like to close with two verses. Please open your Bible. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And listen, sheep of the good shepherd, listen to the word of God. And you who must confess, it's not well with my soul, listen to what you miss. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard the question, It's a question for each one of us from thee, that Almighty God, is it well with thee? And thou knowest how it is in each of our hearts, whether we must truly confess it's not well. I'm living in the world. I'm living according to my flesh. I come to church, but it's all just to keep my conscience quiet. Lord, awaken and give life. Give true confession. Give true repentance. Give seeking life, grace in thee and the Almighty God. Remember those who would long, who desire to say, it is peace. Visit them, Lord. Break those bonds. Help them. Speak to them. Visit them and give them that peace that thou alone can only give through the merits of thy dear Son. Remember those who may say, Shalom. May they go home in amazement, brokenhearted, glorifying thee, because it's all of thee. Lord, keep us through this night. May each one of us desire to end this year in a right way. And may we enter into thy house tomorrow morning to hear again, to begin the year listening to the word of God. Give opening to preach, Lord, and bless thy word richly, powerfully. Forgive our many sins, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We will close in singing from Psalter 204, the four verses. 204, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, I grope in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 204, all four stanzas. Thank you. region. In the Lord's goodness and mercy, as a congregation, we may acknowledge the Lord that he has not taken anyone of us away in this past year. As Jeremiah said, it is the Lord's mercies. They were not consumed. And yet, among us, there are some, maybe many, who are grieving because of the loss of loved ones. And so we will end this year with singing, instead of the doxology, Psalter 244, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 244, 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.